Welcome to the Fixed Ops Friday Show, where we bring you high-quality guests speaking about how to take your Fixed Ops department to the next level. This Car Guy Coffee production is brought to you by Fixed Ops Digital, powered by Trade Pending.
Let's brew!
What's going on, car guys and car gals? It's Lou Ramirez, the car guy. And I am here with the one, the only, Owen Moon! What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Hey, Lou. Happy Friday, buddy. Good to see you, man.
Friday, and not just any Friday, Owen. It's Fixed Ops Friday. It's time to have some fun talking shop with incredible guests, but really just with you, brother. Things are popping with you. A lot of things are moving and grooving. You look like you're definitely inside of, in the flow of enjoying the golf season that's upon us. How are things where you are right now?
Yeah, we had a little snowstorm earlier in the week, but I've been traveling like crazy in March, so got to spend a lot of time in some really nice climate, snuck in a few rounds of golf in between conferences and meetings and all the good stuff. So yeah, it's been nonstop this month, but it's been a really good month, had a lot of really good successes, and finishing off strong here with a Fixed Ops Friday and the last Friday of the month. So.
Heck yeah, it is the last Friday of the month and like the fifth Friday of the month, which is that special Friday that we always love to try to make sure that we take our month to the next level. So we appreciate each and every one of you that are joining us, that are taking time to listen, whether you're going to watch this on the live or you're enjoying this on the replay or you're listening to it on the podcast version. Thank you so much for taking some time to pour something inside of your cup to encourage you and to just enjoy what it is that we have access to in this industry, which is some great people that are always brewing solutions. But there's some great people out there that need to be in here. So help us out and tag a car guy and tag a car gal and share. Get the message out there. As you can see, the subprime hero isn't with us today. He is having an incredibly great news day with a 25-year reunion with his father today. Folks, if you are paying attention to what is happening right now inside of the 40, slightly over 40 competition, go ahead and give him a vote. Give somebody an unvote and give him another vote. Whatever it is that you got to do, help out our brother right now who is competing inside of that. And we are so pumped up to have him watching. I know he's probably going to chime in here, but we appreciate you, Fred. Thank you for all that it is that you do for the industry. And thank you for setting up what it is that is a great lineup for today on Fixed Ops Friday. Owen, we got somebody that's pretty special that's jumping on here today. He comes from a little bit of a different vantage point, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, as a marketing company, we've had a lot of marketers and we've had some fixed ops directors. We've had some BDC people that are helping with the service side of the business and BDC and even just some leadership conversations. But today, I think we're going to get a little all of that. But what we're really going to get is someone that's in the trenches every day, that's mm-hmm. working with stores. And when I first reached out to him to ask him to be a guest, we literally could have talked for 2 hours and just did the show right there. But we finally got him on here, and I'm excited for the conversation today. So
pumped up about it. So we got to go ahead and do what it is that we do, everybody. We got to get loud. We got to get proud about who's coming up on the show and who's entertaining you right now. He's already got some stories for us. I'm glad that we got him on the microphone today. But help us to make welcome to this Fixed Ops Friday, brought to you by Fixed Ops Digital and Trade Pending. We are welcoming in the one, the only,
Randy Brinkman.
What's going on, Randy? Welcome to the party.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey, Randy.
Today,
I understand you said you had a little bit of snow.
A little bit, yeah. It's that end of March snow stuff.
I'm coming to you live from Scottsdale, Arizona. Where our refrigerator is not as cold as where you are right now.
Although it is like 60 degrees, it's all gone. It was one of those like, I actually like it because it's like, hey, get a little snow. You put some moisture on the grass. Going to be green out there pretty soon. So
a heavy frost.
Heavy frost, yeah. No, tell you what, north of us into Minnesota, I think they got hit with maybe a couple feet of snow. So it was definitely that spring snowstorm. We were just a little farther south, and our what helped us is the weather stayed over freezing. It got to 36 to 38 degrees, and so it turned into a lot of rain and just a little bit of snow.
We like our winters here in Arizona. So.
Yeah, I like your winters there in Arizona. I come down to visit. Randy, awesome. Thanks for jumping on today. Obviously, Randy and I know each other really from a clubhouse room that we do on Monday mornings, where we talk a lot about fixed operations and that type of thing. And Randy's really impressed me both with his background and just even with his contributions to that room. And so I reached out to him and just said, hey, I think you'd be a great guest on our show, give the audience maybe a little different look into the fixed operations. So before we jump into some of that, Randy, why don't you set the stage here? Just tell us and the audience your background, what you've done, what you're doing, and just kind of work out for us.
Boring, but sure. Let's see. I started in our business in 1984, so I'm 40 years into car business. I was another career before that, so I'm old. So I guess my biggest accomplishments are 4 great kids and 5 great grandkids, because I guess at the end of the day, that's what you really do all this stuff for. But yeah. I started in my first day in the car business was the auto show in Washington, D.C., and I thought you had to know something. I started there and worked my way through the ranks with a dealership in Washington, D.C. area. And I was there for about 9 years. My dealer, who had a son who had quite a few boys, said, look, I don't know what's going to happen when I pass. So I want to try to get you ready so that you can have everything you can. So he sent me to NADA, to the Dealer Academy. So I went through. And then once I finished with the Dealer Academy, they made me an offer to come be an instructor. So I was actually with NADA in the Dealer Academy for 19 and a half years. So think about this for a minute. For 19 and a half years, every other week for 19 and a half years, I would have 32 to 42 of you guys. Every other week. That's Monday through Friday.
Wow.
So when you steal from one person, it's plagiarism. And when you get to steal from many, it's research. You get to see a lot of stuff. So I did that. And then in 2010, my wife, who was a dealer, single point Buick store, and had been a dealer for many years. She said, what do you say we go out on our own? She had sold the dealership and GM was trying to channel for Pontiac and GMC, and they couldn't make the deal together. So they just bought it back. And this was right before the crash. So being a single point dealer, she would have got the letter. So she was really blessed with that. So we started Randy Brinkman Solutions in April of 2010. So next month will be our 14th year. So we've been really blessed to be able to do this. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. 14 that's awesome. Years. That means you're doing something right, first off.
Yeah.
We hope so. We hope we are very blessed with the clients that we have and the caliber of the clients that we have. And everything I've done except for one manufacturer, everything's been on a handshake. I haven't signed contracts for anything. And you give people a little bit more than what they want, and you just
they do the right around,
thing.
Right?
Just do the right thing. That's all.
Oh, love it. Love it. And that's so true. Love that type of business, because really it is fused together by the relationship that we all keep together. If we're giving inside of this relationship, we're going to the next level. We're each making each other better. I'm sure that there's many ways that you have gone to the next level because of what you've just had exposure to that has been relationship based, not just always transaction based, right?
Absolutely. In this business, what you know is important. Who you know is important, but who knows you is the absolute most important.
That's good. Better write that down, everybody, especially you car guys out there trying to build your brand and build your reputation, and all the companies out there. There's a reason why we are as rigid about who it is that we build relationships with in this industry, because there's so many ways to get burnt. There's so many ways for things to just fall apart. And at the same time, there's so many things that change, whether it's the face of the people that you're dealing with inside of companies, or it's the way that the company operates themselves. There's so much changing inside of the business. How is it that you've been able to make sure that you've kept things steady for yourself, for your business, and for the people that you've been able to help out going to the next level while dealing with all the challenges that the car business always throws at us?
I guess to that question, humbly, I would say it's a crowded space. Being a consultant or in our business, whether it be marketing or any type of online programs that you have or anything that you have, it's a very, very crowded space. So it is relationships, but it's offering something that's a little bit different. Now, for me personally, I will never get into a philosophical discussion with you about your business. I will never get in a philosophical discussion with you because I'm going to lose, especially when I'm right. I'm math-based. I'm all about the financial statement. That's one of the things we do. Actually, we've been very blessed to go to Woodcliff Lakes in New Jersey, and we continually go and help train them on how to understand and read their financial statement, people that call on dealerships. Theirs is the biggest. Theirs is 11 pages. Wow. And when you break it down to simplistic, 90% of all your problems in a dealership are found in an inventory, and 90% of your solutions are found in an inventory 100% of the time. It always is. How does your sales commissions get out of whack as far as percentage of gross? Spiffs and bonuses. What do you spiff and bonus but old age units? Do you order your advertising or do you advertise your mistakes? Just little things. One of the things that I've had success with for other people that has not been my success, but I will get calls from people and say, look, I'm starting this marketing company and I've got this great idea and this, that, and the other. And I listen to them. Some of them I know, some of them I don't know. And I say, okay, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm the general manager and I'm ready to hang up on you. I said, don't take this the wrong way, but you're not giving me anything that I don't already have. You might have a little, I don't know you and I'm doing it, but why don't you do this? Why don't you contact your next client and say, look, and first of all, do a little research by going online and say, look, I'm a marketing company, yada, yada, yada. But here's what I do. It's a crowded space and I know it's a crowded space. All I want to do is to help you move your aged inventory. Stay with who you've got on everything else. Just let me concentrate on your aged inventory. Be surprised how many people get through. I said, you're going to do it all when you get there, but you use that as you are finding a niche of what is the problem.
That's now, a pain point for sure.
Oh, you know, and in 100%. The Dealer Academy for all these years, I taught a lot of the variable classes. Taught a lot of the variable classes. I do very little variable training right now. Very little. It's all fixed operations, service and parts. Because even when people are losing money, they don't want anybody to help them because they figure out they know what they're doing. But let's face it, most general managers, not their fault, they don't understand fixed operations because they've never been there. And when it comes to parts department, they don't go back there because it's dark and there's spiders. And there's always white fans someplace with tape on it holding it up. They just don't understand it. But if you think about the parts department, if all of your new and used vehicles are on floor plan, your parts manager is spending more of your cash than anybody in the dealership, and you got to figure out why. I need parts and service to be working together and not against each other. Because as a service director, unless I do front-end alignments and diagnostic work, I need a part for everything that I do.
Yeah.
Got to bring this together.
And that's what I want to get into today, Randy. Obviously, I've heard you talk several times on Monday mornings about this and stuff, but as a guy that started in this industry in 2000, I was a full service agency for years. And obviously, during that time, we were doing mainly variable, but we did dabble on the service side with direct mail and things like that. This is early 2000s. And one of the things that they always talked about, and the only thing they really talked about, was absorption rate. It was all about, hey, fixed operations, it pays for the rest of the building. So how much of our fixed operations business puts us at a break even? So then the rest of it is all about the plus side with car sales. That's obviously changed here. We now know that it is getting more of a retail mentality. And I think that's something that you are driving home. Obviously, our good friend Tully Williams, who just jumped on there.
Jumped in there, yep.
Impeccable timing, right? Yeah, totally says it's all about the hours. Randy, you say it's all about the hours. Tell me how that shift when did that shift start to really happen in your mind? And really, how are the dealership internally taking that mentality now to that next level? Because hearing about it, right? It hasn't been something that's been years in the making, so to speak, right?
Ask that question of Tully. Ask Tully when he got the shift of hours. And
Tully, answer the question.
Tully, go ahead. Go ahead and text Owen right now. When did you learn about ours? And I'm going to have him read it instead of me saying it. But one of the things with our business, you've got to remember, we've got general managers that are really, they don't use their middle name. And I do not mean this in a bad way. They're general sales managers because they've come up through the variable end. And they only go back into fixed operations if there's a problem. Seems they don't have the skill level necessarily. They might think, but they don't. Now, you take different groups, and collectively when dealers get together, you know what I'm talking about. And they use a lot of old metrics. Some old metrics are hours per RO, effective labor, and dollars per car. These have been metrics forever, and they're always measured. Unfortunately, one size does not even fit most, because a Chrysler, a GM, or a Ford dealership is going to have completely different metrics than a Subaru, Honda, or a Mazda, just because of the work mix. So now we go after hours per RO. There are several ways I can achieve higher hours per RO and effective labor rate, for that matter. The easiest way to do that is just simply to close on Saturdays. If I close on Saturdays, my hours per RO will go up, because all the maintenance work that you do on Saturday just lowers it. Take it to the variable side. How many F&I managers want to take the last 2 or 3 days off because it hurts their pay plan, because their PVRs and all their averages and everything go down? So we're foolish not to recognize this. If I am a used car salesperson and you come to me and say, Randy, if you get an average of $3,000 front end gross on all the used cars you sell this month, I'll give you a $1,000 bonus. I'm at $3,001. Your answer's got three letters in it. Am I in the bonus? My next guest is here on the oldest car in stock off the internet that we have still priced at a $2,100 profit. What must I do? I've got to walk them. Because if I take it, I lose $1,000, because I can't sell it for more than what the internet price is. So can't do it. Same is true with a service advisor. So now you have them on an hours per RO bonus. The easiest way for me to do this is to have defection. Put somebody else's name on the ticket. A clean car comes in for an oil change only. I'm screwed. Randy, get me to 2 hours per RO and I'll give you a bonus. I'm at 2.01 and a brand new clean car comes in. And what do? I've got to have a urinary tract infection and run to the restroom or something of that nature, or to act like I'm on the phone or put somebody else's name on the ticket. Now, if you had a used car salesperson, put somebody else's name on their deal jacket to let somebody else get paid so it wouldn't hurt them, you'd fix that in 10 seconds. We'll do that. Effective labor rate. I constantly ask service directors, constantly ask them. I'm an advisor. And I just wrote a repair order. And I've got two technicians standing in front of me, both capable and available to do the job. Matter of fact, if I put a stopwatch on them, they'll both begin and end at the exact same second. So there's no question about skill level, ability, or even attitude for that matter. But there's a difference. One of the technicians makes $20 a flat rate hour, and the other one makes $40 a flat rate hour. So I ask, if I dispatch you to the higher paid $40 an hour tech, what's going to be the impact on my effective labor rate? 99 times out of 100, they'll say it goes down. And I cringe. No, it doesn't. Your gross profit retention goes down, but your effective labor rate is exactly the same. It's the sale price divided by the time paid.
Yeah.
Then I ask, would you like your effective labor rate to go up? Yes. Do you have a pay plan for your service advisors so that they get rewarded if their effective labor rate goes up? Yes. Do you have coupons that you send to your customers to bring them in? Yes. Are you effective with the coupons? Yes. Congratulations. You're the one lowering the effective labor rate, because you're the one that lowered the price. And of course, you didn't shave the technician's time. So you're lowering the effective labor rate. So all you should really concern yourself with your advisors is whether or not they're discounting. Because the more tires I sell, the more in-cabin filters I sell, the more success I have with same-day selling off of the multi-point inspections, I'm probably going to get a lower effective labor rate, because it's maintenance items. Multi-point inspections are not designed to create major big tickets. It's for the maintenance. And maintenance is what? Maintenance is retention. So hours per RO and effective labor rate actually fight retention. Then dollars per RO. Shoot, all I got to do is take an engine job, discount it to a loser, and I'll be the top of the page as far as my dollars per repair order.
Yeah. So
what are you doing? This is about selling time. A new vehicle, a used vehicle, and a part not sold today can be sold tomorrow. Technician's time not sold today is gone forever. So if I don't get it today, it's done. Now, to our guests and to our listeners right now, I wonder how many of them within the next 3 days are going to have an RO closing party. Why in the world are you having an RO closing party? And I found this to be true. I've actually seen service managers not close ROs in order to post a higher hours per RO so they can hit their bonus and they'll worry about it next month.
Yeah, they'll push it into next week.
Close a bunch of things in order to accomplish that. There's something wrong there.
So it's all manipulation, right? And that's, I think that's what you're really outlining here is that it's, you always say it's how, tell me, show me their pay plan and I'll show you how they run their business.
Well,
and
let me, we have some people that might doubt what I'm saying, but I'll just ask a simple question. Can I manipulate hours per RO?
Yes.
Can I manipulate effective labor rate?
100%.
Can I manipulate total hours sold?
No, not really.
The defense rests.
Right.
Okay. The defense.
That's good. That's good. That's good stuff. Randy, you got Tully definitely answered the question while you were going on. He said that he learned it at a Randy class. Yeah. So
Tully is a great friend of my wife's and mine. Love the guy to death. I've known him forever. And when we first met him, we went ahead and we put this out to him. And he walks up to me. He says, "I don't like you anymore." He says, "Because what you're saying makes all the sense in the world." And he says, "I'm going to change it." And he's run with it ever since. Yeah.
Well, it's the only thing that really makes sense, because you're right. And it goes against all the, I guess you could say, the legacy metrics that you were lining out. And sometimes it goes against just the mentality of just being better every day. Some people like to just show up and push some clock, hit the time clock and be done. When you're pushing hours, you're pushing for maximum efficiency and aggressive revenue type thing. And that's not, it does fight a little bit with the mentality of the service department, because the service department is there to serve the deal of the customer and make sure the customer is getting the services that are needed and nothing that's maybe extra. And so you're constantly, I always say that like advisors aren't salespeople. I disagree with that, but that's the mentality. And then you throw hours at them and all of a sudden it's, oh man, we have to maximize the time we have in front of us. So I love that it's changing, because it's really bringing the sales and service team together in a unified approach. But it probably has been tough in a lot of dealerships.
I don't know that it's necessarily changing. It's just coming to the forefront.
Yeah.
And I think retention had a lot to do with that. I think it's always been there, but we've never really taken the time to look at it.
We've been focusing on all those legacy metrics you talk about.
Interesting. Tom Dahl. Man, I love this man. He's retired. Good for him. But I love Tom Dahl to death. And so Tom got with us one time and says, "Look, we want you to go to all the regions and we want you to tell," they were concerned about they can't make their service departments any bigger. "How can we go ahead and increase this, that, and the other?" I told him about our program. He says, "Let's do it. We're going to do it in all the regions." I said, "I'll do it on one condition." He says, "What's that?" I said, "The general manager's got to be sitting beside." General manager's got to be sitting beside him. He's like, "How about?" I said, "No, they really, really have to." And I told him a little story. When my kids were small, I wanted to help be their soccer coach. But I traveled, just like you, I traveled for a living almost weekly, so I couldn't be the head coach. So I was an assistant. So it was time to go to the first dad's meeting. So we had a head coach and two assistants. Head coach had a death in the family, couldn't be there. So it was just us two assistants. The first thing they said to us when we walked in is, "Do not have these kids run laps. Don't have these kids run laps. Kids run for a living. That's what they do. If you concentrate on skills and drills, concentrate on skills and drills, because those aren't aerobically sound, will pick up their wind through the skills and drills." He says, "If you go ahead and have them run laps, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You only have them for a little bit of time in the evenings. They're going to take off. You're going to have about four of them in competition. Then you're going to have the pack, and then you're going to have the daisy pickers come at the end, and you've wasted all this time. So don't do it." Made a lot of sense. So we go, now we have the first meeting with the kids. We show up, the head coach is there with a brand new hat and a shiny new whistle. What's the first thing he had him do is run laps. And I looked and I said, "This is a business lesson right here." So I expressed that to Tom and I said, "Look, if they're not there, they're going to undo everything that we've tried to do. So you've got to get, the message has got to start at the top. Messages has got to stop." And here's the interesting thing, Owen. Every general manager is an incredible fixed operations manager that's never been told. If they will do exactly what they do in the front end and concentrate on units of inventory sold, they'll have it. It's that simple.
It's an easy metric too.
The average tech wants to turn 10 hours in an 8-hour day. You have 12 techs. Put a zero behind the number of techs. Don't make it hard. I got 12 techs. I got 120 hours. If I have three advisors, this dog isn't going to hunt because that's 40 hours apiece. And the average advisor cannot write 40 hours in a day. Just the numbers are against them. Four advisors, that's 30 hours apiece. That's perfect. Does every salesperson know the number of units of inventory they should sell every month? And the answer is absolutely. We've got boards up there with half a deals and everything else. The advisor doesn't know how many units of inventory they're supposed to sell because we don't break it down that way. We don't break it down that way. And you've got to break it down by day. Did I win my day? Did I win my day? And the more hours you sell, your parts to labor ratio comes into play and you sell more parts. It's a beautiful thing.
Randy, I love what you're breaking down here because it's in line with what all I wanted to ask you. What would you say to the lopsided general manager, the one that really just doesn't know what it is that he doesn't know? What most general managers did make their ascension by way of being excellent inside of sales, by being leaders, by being natural at problem solving as they see the problems. They've just never really been encountered with that problem back there outside of keeping the relationship with the leaders to keep costs down.
Lou, it's really simple in a way. All I have to do is say, play with me for a minute. How much did you make net in service last month? Net. Let's just make it easy math. They said, we made 100,000. Great. How many techs do you have? X number. Okay. Do you think each one of your techs could give you just one more hour a day, keeping that it's 36 to 47 minutes? Do you think? And then, yeah, I said, I'm going to cut it in half. Don't worry about it. So let's do that. So put the number of techs in your calculator, multiply it by one. And if I see them go times one, I'm going to make fun of them. Okay. So now that's the number of techs you have. Now multiply that by a 20-day month if they work eight hour day, 5 day week. There's the number of hours you have. So let's say I've got 10 techs on a 20-day month would be 200 hours. Okay. So now you have 200 hours. Put your effective labor rate in there. And then I'll say put in $20 less than your effective labor rate. There's your revenue. Now take 65% of that because they're holding 70 or 80%. Go only hold 65% of that. What number do you have? I got $22,000. Okay, divide it by your $100,000, you have a 22% increase in your service department. I mean, that's where the math is. When I do that math, it's usually always double-digit increase just by getting one more hour. And we haven't figured out the parts.
Wow.
That's all it is. It slaps you in the face when you really, really look at it. Now, to everybody that's on here, I went through that very fast. Welcome to give me a call or email me, and I will go over it with you a little slower. But I'm just saying, you always get a double-digit increase.
And think about what you're saying there, right? You're using very simplistic math to get to a number that shows an increase in revenue. And it's exactly the opposite of what you just went through with effective labor rate.
Yeah.
I'll game the system right that way. You're trying to game how your pay plan is. You're trying to game what those numbers are to be good for the OEM. When in reality, it comes down to I'm open today from this time to this time. I have this many people to do the business. Let's get her done. And you'll see the money being made.
Guys, think about this for just a minute. Yes, just think about this for a minute. We pay a service director on gross and or net. We pay an advisor on either sales or gross. How do we pay a tech? On hours turned. Get those three people in a meeting and try to come up with a conclusion on something. It'll be an absolute disaster because the person that's creating the revenue for you is going to be the lowest man on the totem pole is going to lose. Everything should be about hours. Think about units of inventory. Think about this. In the variable side, if you sell between this many cars and this many cars, you get this percentage. Mm-hmm. This many cars, this many cars, I'll increase your percentage a little bit. This many, do it service.
Yeah.
You sell between this many hours, you get 3%. This many hours and this many hours, I'll pay you 3.25 or 3.5. You have to figure it out. This many hours, you'll get 3.5 to 4. Whatever, you do the math and figure it out. I will do exactly what you are doing on the variable side, and it works.
That's so good. That is so good.
That general parts guy, how are they paid? On sales or gross? They never sold a thing a day in their life.
It's all gross.
My name's Fetch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why aren't they connected to ours? Go, I'll bring it to you. Mm-hmm. Don't get it.
How is that working? Let's talk in the trenches a little bit, because that's where I want to really get in with you, Randy. Yeah. What's the challenges you see when you get into the store? Like, why isn't everybody just doing this? What's the disconnect?
Not in the camera.
No, they are just stuck in their old ways.
That's my wife.
And they refuse to change because that's the way they've always done it.
Yeah.
And that's what 20 groups look at.
Under pressure. I used to train guide dogs for the blind when I was in Virginia. I did it for 8 years. I was a regional Virginia trainer for guiding eyes for the blind. We get these little puppies in about 8 weeks, and 22 to 24 months, you had to say goodbye. So you have a lab living with you for 2 years, and you got to say goodbye. It's heart-wrenching. But somebody needs them more than we do. And one of the things you find out when you're training them is you bring them into unusual situations, stressful situations. You bring them in, you pull them right back out. You bring them in, you pull them right back out. Eventually, they'll go in, and it's not strange anymore. Under pressure. Human beings as well, we go back to our historical self. So whether a general manager will go work the desk, a service manager will go after these lead metrics or historic metrics that they always have, and they're afraid. And I get it. It's a fear of the unknown. Look, I got to where I am. I've been doing this for 30 years. You're not going to come in here and change me on this until you show them the math.
Money talks, right?
I'm a numbers guy. I've always been a numbers guy.
But Randy, it's also a way too, right? What often isn't the case is they don't see the path. They don't even know which way the next change would be. And so many times because they don't see that, so often they do get stuck inside of their ways. And by all means, we're out here preaching to the masses how important it is that we readjust our thinking, that we reshape the way that it is that we consider how everything is done, and by all means, keep what works, but change what's got to be changed and upgrade what's got to be upgraded. And the philosophy behind the hours is huge, and it applies inside of sales also.
Exactly. On
both ends, you have so many hours that you're present and productive, and maximizing those should be the main goal of everybody present, just like a military unit. We have this much time to complete this mission, and this is how we measure whether or not we had success or not.
If you look at this, we're having a hard time finding techs. Don't concentrate on the hours. You're going to have a hard time keeping them. So here's a simple thing. You don't even need a computer. Yeah. What does your shop look like an hour before you close? If it looks like a ghost town, guess what? And you got all the hours you wanted, their productivity was through the roof. I'm sorry, their efficiency was through the roof, but the productivity was terrible. Give me a 10-hour job and I do it in 2 hours, barring no comebacks. My efficiency is through the roof, but if I don't do anything for the other 6 hours, you're losing, what, $100-some an hour for each one. So it's just about getting the maximum amount of hours. And the heck, now here's the other interesting thing. If you will concentrate on hours, and it pretty much comes out to be that the average advisor needs to turn somewhere between 26 and 30 hours a day, depending upon the size of your shop and things of this nature. There's no way I can achieve my hours through single line repair orders. I have to same day sell. I have to send pictures and videos. I think we are guilty more of neglect than we are of overselling. But as an advisor, I can't get single line repair orders and hit my hours. If I hit my hours, my single line repair orders fall into place. If I go after my hours, I don't have the RO closing party at the end of the month because I want to get those hours closed so I can post them every day. It all just works.
And to your point, there's a lot of unbillable hours when you're moving cars to and from the lift, things like that. Just a lot of things that you can't charge for. And if you're doing single line ROs, you're doing a lot more of that than you're doing the work that you're getting paid for. So
then the other side of it is what's your first time fill rate and parts? Not same day, first time. Parts manager thinks same day is okay. I get it for you in 2 hours. But the technician's got to pull the car off the lift, half put it together, put it off the lift, pull it back, sick and tired of doing the job same time. I've always said this, depending upon the size of your service facility, how many bays you have, your parts department manager decides the number of techs you're going to have. Because if you never have the part when needed, I need 2 bays or I'm not working for you because I can't make any money.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all, it all works together. And I think that's the biggest challenge I'm seeing out there is that hours are the end goal, but it's connecting all those dots. And that's where, Randy, obviously you come in. That's where a good fix ops director comes in. But until the mission, until the end result, how are you going to get to where you need to be?
Yeah, in every one of your departments, you got to have a defined purpose. What are you ultimately after? What are you ultimately after? And then everything has to go towards that point.
Lou, you're on mute, bud.
That's often the question that most general managers plugged inside of that position, they just need to have answered. What should I be looking at? And man, I wish there was a way. And I know that NADA is very creative in how they do what they do and how we train up our people. But there has to be a solution out there, folks, or we need to brew it up ourselves where we can take these general managers that come from either side of the dealership and get them to see things the way that they need to see them from the vantage point of those that are basically experts inside of each of those positions. Otherwise, it's going to keep being, you're usually going to have a decent to good service manager leading the ship for a general manager without the general manager really knowing what to do. Like some calls, just not really being the general manager making the call. It's just, okay, my service manager is saying this is what I'm going to go with because I really don't know anything to have a contrast conversation with them. Does that make sense? And have you seen that before?
And you know, Lou, humbly, very, very humbly, Kim and I feel like we have the solution because it works.
Yeah.
Love
it. And it just does. And I can't tell you the number of general managers that look at us and say, you make it sound so easy. And Kim has the same answer every time because it is. You're trying to make it too hard. Averages are manipulation. I don't want you to manipulate. Just sell the next one. Just sell the next one. Like a thermometer. Just keep adding one more, one more, one more, one more, one more. And where am I trying to be? I need to be this many hours. Think about this. If you sell all your hours and you don't discount, it's perfect.
Yeah.
That's all you're after.
That's amazing.
So effective labor rate, all of you, any advisors that are looking at it, if you never discount, don't let anybody criticize you for your effective labor rate. Management put a price in the computer. Management said how much time they would pay. You sold it for that. Leave me alone. Matter of fact, I could be the lowest effective labor rate because I have the best same day selling. I sell more light bulbs, in cabin filters, tires than anybody else at the dealership, but that's going to lower my effective labor rate.
You're just running the playbook, right?
Just who's next? Yeah. And my technicians, most of them want to go home tired, dirty, and rich.
That's right.
I will say this. Everybody needs a coach. Everybody needs a mentor. Yes. I think that in this business, especially on something as important as service, everybody could use a Randy Brinkman Solutions because there is so much to it. And when you're in the trenches every day and you're shorthanded and you're constantly putting out fires and you're trying to run your business, having that outside set of eyes that could come in on a regular basis, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, whatever the cadence is there for you guys, Randy, I think it's almost a no-brainer for people that need something like that to be able to help them excel.
Oh, and one of the things we found, we've actually gone and had the service and parts managers paid on a common pot. Take wholesale out of it. I'll figure it out of the way. But we'll pay service and parts managers on a common pot with a kicker for hours. Back counter parts people with a kicker for hours. Advisors with a kicker for hours. See, the neat thing about it is you don't have to change your pay plan. All you do is add an hours component to it. If you achieve more, I will reward you more. And if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to get what you're getting anyhow. So don't be upset. You're not going to get dialed back or anything. And when we put that together, you ought to see the loyalty and the spark in your technicians because they realize, wow, somebody is here listening to us on what we need. Everybody has a concern with what we get paid on, and that is turning the hours. You'll get more customers through your store, so you'll have a better appointment scheduling and so forth. By the way, don't set appointments anymore. Quit setting appointments. They're convenient drop-off times. So let's call it what it is. So what would be a convenient drop-off time for you to come in so that we can speak with you about your car and things of this nature, especially if you work 410s? These are things that will really help you.
I like that.
Almost a consultation, right?
Exactly. Yes. That's what it is.
Yes, I love that.
Well, Randy, we're wrapping up here, man. I've thoroughly enjoyed the conversation.
We want more.
We can go now with the parts and show how the parts will help you with the hours on just doing some small little things like that. I mean, if this business was hard, the three of us couldn't do it. You know that.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't make this hard. Nobody went to a 8-year doctorate degree course in the automobile business and we missed it. Math doesn't lie. And if you will just put the math to it, it just works.
We're definitely going to try to put some math to getting a second episode on Fixed Ops Friday with you on it, Randy, because you are a wealth of wisdom. And I just want to sit here and take notes as a leader and consultant out there helping out dealerships too. There's so much that I believe we can learn from you, so much more that we want to hear, especially per what it takes to make sure that you maximize what you have going on in your Fixed Ops department. But Owen, fantastic pick for this show, brother.
Lou, you made one military reference when we were talking. Did you serve?
Yes, sir, I did.
I want to thank you for my freedom, my children's freedom, and my grandchildren's freedom from the heart.
I honor that. It's an honor, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all those that are watching that have served. Thank you, everybody that's taken the time to be on this good Fixed Ops Friday with everybody that's been enjoying this. Have an incredible Easter this weekend, everybody. We are so thankful that you all have been spending time with us. Owen, I know that I had a good time.
Randy, thank you so much, man.
Hey, I hope our message is valid for everybody.
Thank you so much. This will be played on many different platforms, people that missed it live, and we will make sure that we share it out to our dealer community as well. Obviously, we have a lot of stores that are working with us on their website marketing and that type of thing, but I think this kind of fits right in it. With that, sir, I'm going to let you get back to it. I know it's Friday afternoon. We'll do it again, man, but thank you again. I think everybody that listened in today probably left going, wow, that is a whole different approach than maybe I'm used to.
Absolutely. So true. Thank you so much. So, Randy, only one thing left to do, and that's make sure that we do drop those F-bombs that don't offend the moms, and that's to forgive, focus, and fly so that we can keep growing all the time. So help us out, Randy.
Put your hands on your shoulders, buddy.
And just roll with us on three. One, two, three. Forgive, focus, fly.
And keep growing.
Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in for this fabulous, good Fixed Ops Friday. I am Lou Ramirez, the car guy, enjoying this day with the one, the only, Owen Moon. And we have been having a great time just turning wrenches inside of our minds about what we can do inside of our service departments with the one, the only, Randy Brinkman. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. We're out.